Shall we pray? Jesus, thank you and praise you, Lord. You're worthy of honor and glory, majesty and praise. And our lips will praise you. Our hearts will well up with your goodness, thoughts about your goodness and kindness. Our minds will be filled and occupied with your holy word. It will feed our hearts. And it will come to our mouth in praise and thanksgiving to you. And be pleased to accept our praise and thanksgiving as we do it with a conscience that is clear. Thank you, Lord, and praise you as you continue to teach us, encourage, strengthen. And as you continue to instruct us each day as we move forward. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Incidentally, I was just thinking, have you thought why God says he neither sleeps nor slumbers? We just now read, we sang it. What do you think? Children, as always, be ready with your Bibles. Youngsters, youth members, everybody who is there at the door, please come and sit. Okay, I am requesting. I will ask you by name to read, so be alert. Only to read, okay? That anybody can do. Alright, so I will ask you to do that. Right, so why do you think scripture says that God neither sleeps nor slumbers? Why two words? I'm just thinking, okay, I might be wrong. You can add to it. Sleep and slumber. Can you think a little bit? Is there a difference between the two? Little bit? Just imagine. I think slumber is more poetic, more formal, but it means kind of bordering on dozing off. Sleep, we know. He won't sleep. But he adds to it and says, he will not doze off also. I don't understand why God needs to speak in so child's language to you and me. Why should the God who created the universe, you know, in the same chapter, the first verse, you know what it says? Psalm 121.
I lift up my eyes.
I lift up my eyes to you. Where does my help
come from?
From where? Can you understand what God is saying here? He's saying, I'm not a small fry, if you think. I'm not in your pocket, if you think. I don't need to listen to anything you say. Your life, given by me, taken by me. The key to Hades and death is with me. And in case you didn't understand or you didn't know, I don't need you actually. I don't need this universe. I don't need this earth. Psalm 121 verse 1 and 2 is to remind Gabriel and to remind Jaden and Eliza and her father Kuruvala and Dr. Greta and George Matthew one thing, to say that our help is not from an influential influencer or a social media influencer or a political activist or a very good man. Your help comes from the one who created heaven and earth. So he's not a small person to deal with. In other words, in other places it says God is a consuming fire. Consuming fire. We think of fire in terms of hell fire. We think of destruction in terms of devil's work. And in that same chapter it says, he neither sleeps nor slumbers. What a change in... What does he mean? Because God loves you. Because God chose to love you. He speaks in a language that his children will understand. That is why he takes effort to say things like, I am the vine, you are the branches. My father is the vine dresser. Suddenly gone into a garden and thinking about something so close to us, what? Fruit tree, grape. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you not to lose the point. When he says he neither sleeps nor slumbers, he is saying, I am so keen about you that you will not catch me dozing off. There are millions of people right now asking me for things. There are infinite problems to solve. I am talking like God would want to think. But child, when you think something, you don't have the strength to even put it in words. You don't know what to say. I will not slumber. I will be keen to listen. Because you are precious to me. And do you know why you are precious to me? Because you are washed by my holy blood. So I will not sleep nor slumber. Children, listen carefully. Okay, children, I'll request something. Can you look at me? Okay, every teacher will want the student to look at this side. Okay, when you look at, when you speak, you'll grasp more. Okay, so please look at me. Okay, I'll do this with love. I'll keep cautioning children to listen, because only when you listen, you'll be able to understand. There's another part also which I asked my daughter to tell last time when I spoke. Why you should be careful to listen? Why? Why? Who is your enemy? Yeah, the Bible says that the devil will pluck the word that is sown, so that you will not listen, you will not understand. So it is not like school, not like class. The devil will try to distract you away from it, for which you have said, no, I belong to my God. I want to know about life. I want my life to be blessed. I want my family to be blessed. So I want to listen to you because you are my instructor. I want to listen to you. I want to obey you because that is the best exciting journey in my life. So I want to listen to you. I will not let one word pass this way. If I don't understand, I will ask. Right? So that should be the attitude that we have. Okay? Let me read a few thoughts. My prayer is that whatever I share here, by God's grace, what is for you, you would receive. And you will act upon it. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. We prayed at the end that song also, saying that fall afresh on me, Holy Spirit, and do your work. Psalm 103, verse 13. If anybody knows by heart, you can just say Psalm 103, verse 13. I know, you're 1 and 2, you were saying. Psalm 103, verse 13. Can somebody pick it up and read? Yeah.
For the Lord pities those who fear.
Okay, can one of the... Okay, uncle read it. As a father pities his children. So, Lord has compassion. Another language which is too simple. Not complicated. It can't be added into any poetic book somewhere. It doesn't stand probably the chance of winning some literary award for making that plain statement. God wants to simply, I told you before, why does he want to explain simple? You know, Eliza, what that verse said? What that verse said? Can you read it?
The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear
him. Yes, the Lord is that the one? Verse 13, as a father pities his children. Did you read that way? As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who hear him. You know why Jesus is writing that for Eliza to understand? Because you know how your father takes care of you. He's careful. When he ran today morning, right? He must be looking from behind and side. Where is Eliza? Is she walking properly, running properly? Is the car going to hit her? What is it? His eyes will be upon you, right? I thought you went, right? You went and came, right? So Jesus is using that same word so that Eliza also will understand. Hopefully, a father also will understand. You know why I said hopefully? Because sometimes children grasp it quickly, but we adults have some filters and some kind of complication, and we miss the simple truth that Jesus communicates to you and me in simplicity. We look for complexities. Actually, in Ecclesiastes it says, I forget the verse, it says this, God made things simple, man made it complicated. So it's not exactly like that. God made it straightforward, man complicated it. But it is not necessary to complicate. Of course, God is complicated, complex. You cannot define Him. You cannot really find out everything about Him. That is who He is. And thank God that is who He is. That is our God. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. Imagine that. He says He pities you. When you are struggling, when you are having difficulties, confusions, children, when we are struggling at home, maybe arguing with your parents, maybe you have a genuine reason to do so. As a father pities more than your own father, God pities you as His children. You know what is the meaning of pity? So if your father pities you, is it good or bad? Bernice, think. Don't worry, there's nothing wrong there. Is it good or bad? You want a father who pities you or doesn't pity you? Yeah, what is the meaning of pity? You want to understand that? Read the next verse. Psalm 103 verse 14. What does it say?
For He knows our frame.
For He knows our frame.
He remembers that we are dust.
He remembers that we are dust. Right? My worldly father knows that he is not wise enough and he will jump on the road. He might go and do things that are not. He might end up in trouble. He knows our frame. So He considers you. He is pitiful. He says, okay, I have to guard. I have to teach him. I have to make him understand. Right? I'm not going to just let him go and get destroyed. I will pity him because I care for him. Because I love you, I pity you like a father does. Isaiah 59, if you would go. I think you would have guessed what I'm going to share there.
Isaiah 59 what?
I'm going to come there. Wait a minute. Isaiah 59. Sorry, hold on. I got the... Alright, if you find that, just tell me. I forget, I think I got the wrong thing. As a even your mother may forget you, but I will not forget you. Anybody gets that I wrote it wrong? Can you find that out? Is it Isaiah 59? Or you can Google search for me? 49. Okay. So I'm only 10, difference is only 10 chapters, so you'll forgive me. Isaiah 49, okay? Isaiah 49 verse 15. Okay, can somebody read that? Listen, children, listen. This is very simple language, okay? Even Joa can understand. Right? Listen carefully. Right. Yes?
Can a mother? Forget the baby at her breast.
Can a mother forget?
The baby at her breast.
Let me ask Joa. Will your mom, Jyoti auntie, or what is your mommy? Can she forget to feed milk to Zachary? You think she has done? Where is she? Well, we test with Alice. In this last 2 months, have you forgotten to feed Zachary anytime? Are you sure? Didn't you slumber? You must have forgotten. No, right? The same word is used here for you to understand. You know that, Joa? God, Jesus loves you, for your language also is written, so that you will understand. And as I said earlier, hopefully adults are listening and grasping. Joa understood. But the question is, have you understood? Of the call. Georgie, have you understood? Do you know why He is writing this to you? Read it again.
Can a mother forget the baby at her breast?
The answer is, okay, God is asking you a question. Can a mother forget? What is the answer? Joa gave the answer, the right answer. Can a mother forget to feed the baby?
No.
See, He knows the answer. Right? God is asking. Can you imagine you answered a question which God asked? It's precious. It's beautiful. And you answered it from your heart. So God loves you. And He cares for you. And He said, I'm so happy to hear Joa say. Because he saw live experience. And this is true. And then?
And have no compassion on the child she has borne.
Okay, let me add just for the picture. Please understand, have you seen her beating him up so far? Yeah. Did you see her using the stick, right? Later on she'll use, but now? You seen? He's doubting. No, right? He'll cuddle and, you know, he'll just hold close and then she's afraid she'll fall down. And he'll care, right? He'll care. She'll care and you know, your dad cares, your brothers care. No, you also care, yes?
Though she may forget,
yes,
I will not forget you.
Okay. That is a humbling thing. Actually, it is possible that Amma will forget. Somewhere in between, she will tell one day that your paal which marna away. You know, it's in the kitchen. I mean, maybe when you feed in the bottle later on, and then say, oh, time boy, I didn't notice. I should have given him 1 hour back. I forgot. So Jesus is telling us, saying that even, can a mother forget? No, the correct answer, she may forget, but I will not forget. This is not for children. I included the children. But this is for the children to tell us adults and remind us. Do you know the love of this Jesus whom you just sang about? For whose sake you have gathered together? Do you know that this is his character? That he pities like a father pities a son, because he knows our frame, he knows our weaknesses, he does know that you are just but dust. So he pities. He does something. Remember, it's not just pitying and sitting there. He pities, so he does something. Remember, that's the point. The father doesn't pity from far and say, oh, I pity you. And then sit there. No, I pity you, so I'm going to run towards the child. I'm going to hold the hand. I'm going to take and I'm going to forgive and I'm going to listen to that person. I know his fate. Mistaken, but I will listen. Let me listen to his story, her story. As a father pities his children, God does that. And then it says here, as a mother. All right. I'm going to put you on the spot. I want Malvika to come here. So yesterday, there was a circumstance in which Malvika, me, Sandhya, Sarana, and her dear father, Mohan certainly called. We were, okay, no jealousy children, we were eating ice cream. Okay. There was a reason for that. We were in Oberon Mall and we picked up ice cream from Baskin Robbins. Thanks to her, she was treating. We picked it up. A few things happened, right? First of all, we were not supposed to go to Baskin Robbins. We were supposed to go to where?
Candy.
Okay, there is another shop, it's Candy. Okay, which is also nearby there. So we drove in our car. Listen carefully. There's a reason why I'm telling every detail. Remember where we just now read. As a mother, does a mother forget? No. Jesus cares for you more than your mother and more than your father. Okay? Don't forget that. We're coming to that. Alright? We were supposed to go to Scandi. That was around 11 a.m. We went. Drove in Scandi and an unexpected thing was happened. What happened?
It was closed.
It was closed. 11 o'clock. There was one man who was cleaning up. He said, it's not open. After 1 hour, if you come back, we can have. We were shocked because Scandi ice cream shop, 12 o'clock, and it's not open at 11 o'clock. And then we were wondering where to go. Then we googled and found. She found out that there is a Baskin Robbins in Oberon Mall, which is a little ahead from there. So we went. Okay, now again remember, so one plan changed. That was not our plan. We went. And when we went there, we went, it was on the ground floor, and then we went and bought it. And then she said, let us not sit here. Uncle, if it is okay, can we climb 3 floors up and go to the food court and sit there? I said, okay, let's go. So we are all going with this ice cream through the lift, and then in between she said, by the time we reach there, most likely it will all be melted. Okay, but we said, no, we will go up. Reason, why did you want us to go up?
There's a sofa near the Baskin Robbins, it's like one straight sofa, so if we were to sit there, we'll all be sitting there facing the wall.
Okay.
It would be better to sit together facing each other and talk and, you know.
Okay, so what was the motive? She wanted us to face each other and talk. Ice cream is there, but her desire was much more nobler than that. Ice cream is very good, but I want to see sitting with each other and talk. That's called fellowship of God's people. Right? So we are talking. So that is why we went. It's a beautiful place. We went and sat. Probably 2 or 3 minutes later, what Sandhya and I thought is a sales girl had walked up to her. Okay, some strange girl walked up to her. And then, where is Sandhya? What is the thought that crossed your mind? She tried not to look at her because if sales girls come, then it will be SBI card or this card and all. So we just, okay, let Malvika deal with it. And he turned and said, I also thought the same. Right, so I also did not look. And the next that I see is, she screams and hugs her, Anita, and burst into tears. Why?
She is one of the people, when Amma passed away, I had a hard time coming to faith, staying in faith, and I never met Anita in person. We just have one mutual friend in college. My friend in college was like, oh, you pray, I know somebody who prays as well, let me connect you. We just know through WhatsApp text. And when Amma passed away, she came to know and she took me to Tiruvalla ICU on Zoom call that time. It was COVID. And she's one of the major reasons why I kept praying even when I didn't have the strength to. It was the first time I was meeting her in person. She's one of the kindest people I know. And I couldn't believe that the Tiruvalla ICU, when it went offline, I stopped. There was no way for me to meet them again. When I met her, I was very shocked.
A few things, more details there. She is a person in Tiruvalla, Rani side. Where did they meet? During COVID time on Zoom. In what circumstance? Somebody connected to somebody who will pray and lift her up. Shamba was not involved there. George Matthew is not involved there. None of us are involved there. In a corner, where were you in NID?
No, it was before NID.
She prayed for, I used to put prayer requests to them to pray for me so that I get into NID so that I can follow my dream. And she didn't know me well, she would still pray for me. And I had never met her before that.
Okay, so some stranger whom she knows praying for her over Zoom during COVID time, Rani. Why did we come to Oberon Mall? Because Candy was closed. Why did we go upstairs? Because she said, let's talk. We could have sat down, even there. Even your mother may forget you, but I will not forget you. You know why? Do you remember what I told you it was?
He tasted the love of God, and he actually got to talk about God in front of my father. And it was easier for Achin to understand because he saw something that normally doesn't happen right in front of you.
So, and you know what? So her name is Anita. So Anita said, I'm working in an office opposite to Oberon. That is why they just came for a break to have coffee. I told her, this, as much as to show you Jesus' love, this is to honor Anita. This is to honor a child of God called Anita, who prayed for a Malvika whom she doesn't know somewhere, and there's no reason why she's, you know, the background. Or why did I say the details, children? You see, that is how God works. That is how God and Jesus, please see. Jesus demonstrates for you to taste, and very often we miss that because we are looking for complicated things. Not that there are not complicated situations in our life, there are. But the point is, because we are missing the point. Jesus is speaking in child's language so that adults will understand without any doubt. Jesus is giving examples and parables which are open to his believers. so that we will understand the truth and grasp it. For example, when he tells his children that I am the vine and you are the branches, there is no reason why Angela will not grasp it, because the Holy Spirit is in her. But there is a reason why maybe her friend who is working at the law office may not understand, because the eyes are blinded, the eyes are not yet opened. But there is no reason why she will not understand, because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And as soon as you say this, yes Lord, our response is, yes Lord, apart from you, which flows from that. John chapter 15 verse 5, apart from you I can do nothing. To understand that, he explains there and says it's like the vine and the branches. Can the branch exist on its own? No. Apart from the branch, apart from the stem, can the branch exist? No. Can it ever exist? No. As soon as it is cut away, it is going to break. So you are dependent and you exist in me alone. And I am the one who is providing everything for you. And so, if Angela understands that, she is going to immediately be humble in her heart and say, oh Lord, yes, thank you for reminding me that apart from you, I can do nothing, just as the vine and the branches. Alright, so I use this example, live example. I was so thrilled when I saw that, because to me it is a mind-boggling miracle that God did to encourage her to speak and show right in front of her dear father that this is it. That is when, for the first time, I could not keep it. I said, this is Jesus. This is the love of Jesus. That's all I said, because I saw the love of Jesus. That is enough. And equivalent to 10 doctrinal statements. Because this is proof. This is tasted already. And I think about that tasting also, I said, I don't know. It just crossed my mind. I said, see, we are, because I always use that example of ice cream when I talk about John, Psalm 34, 8, which is taste and see that the Lord is good. I always use the example of an ice cream. To say that, okay, if I tell you that I went to Baskin Robbins and this flavor, it is excellent. And however I describe to you and you say wonderful, you will still not know the taste. You will have to go yourself to Baskin Robbins and ask your father to buy. And then when you taste, you'll say, yes, it is. And then even if the world comes against you to argue, you'll say, no. I know, it tastes like this. You can argue, but it tastes like this. So Jesus is in the work of working, in the business of working out in his children's lives to show and prove his will and his word. Okay, I'm simplifying this. Many of this is there. Romans chapter 12, if you read it, is there. Okay, many aspects are there. He proves himself. He proves his word. 2 Chronicles 15, 9 or 16, 9 also says that. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the world, looking for someone on whose behalf he wants to show himself great. I cannot understand that verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the world. Can you imagine, children? Do you know that God is looking and watching and saying, will you love me and look at my face? If you do, you know what? I, the God who created the heaven and the earth, the one who loves you more than your father or mother, I will do things through you for my glory. I'm looking for you. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, seeking someone on whose behalf he wants to show himself great. The glory belongs to him. The boasting belongs to us, right? We can boast. This is the God. This is my Jesus. How much you can tell, right? You can keep telling, Acha, orme undo. You know, my candy adachittirunnu. Thank you. Thank you, it was closed. Anganeya devathinte sneham. That those who pray, he will honor. Those who ask, also he will honor. And he will show himself and prove himself and tell you, this is tasty. I am tasty. My word is tasty. Sweeter than? Honey. Oh, you have tasted honey. It is very nice. Very sweet. But sweeter than that. And the best part is, you will never be sated. Remember once before I said this. Chedikkathilla. You can have many spoons you want. You can have, in fact, cups and cups. chocolate. That's it. I want to also say some things which are not as pleasant and as palatable as that. That is also for you and me. As much as we do not want it, that is also for you and me. That's also for you. And sometimes, you know, the heart of God is so much revealed in scripture through the simple poetic language and the way that he gives an example and all. It is just saying, it's like that verse is, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how much? Can you imagine the emotion Jesus would have been looking at Jerusalem? How much I would have gathered, you know? Ethra Nala. How many years? I don't know, 3,000 years? From the time of Abraham, patriarchs, from the Garden of Eden, and then of course down the line, how much? But you would not. Yan endu mathram shramichu. How much I am reminding you? Turn your attention to me. Just turn your attention to me. How much I asked you, please, would you just say yes to the truth? How much? How many chances? How ethra anugraham thannittunde? Ethra asuthinum rechittittunde? Sorry, I'm using a little bit of Malayalam. Sean, okay. Because some things come powerfully through your mother tongue, right? Than English. Derek, how much God has loved you? How much has He proved yourself, Himself to you? Yes, you have. Just Tirinyanaka. Look in the past. That's why. The beauty is, that is what Ebenezer is. Brother Ebenezer, your name stands out, right? Because what is Ebenezer? Ebenezer is a pillar that shows everything that God has done good for you. Ebenezer is a place where they place that, I don't know what pillar or, and says, Itratol, that's where that song comes. Hitherto. Hitherto is the English, as brother is saying. Thus far, hitherto. Hither tomorrow, Allah. Remember. Hitherto, idvare. You have reason to look back always and say, thank you for doing this. You have reason to say, thank you, we got a baby brother. Thank you, he's healthy. Thank you, my mama is safe after the delivery. There were tensions, but God has helped us. You have reason, you know what? Joy, that reason is there even when you are going through difficult situations. Joshua, you have reason, right? I'm just saying this to give the life to that, what I'm trying to say. You have reason, right? Wow, God, thank you. Last year, my sister got married. It was wonderful. Give me a big family. Thank you. You also loved that. You spent your time with 13, 14 brothers, right, who encouraged you and strengthened. Your parents testified, right? That was a big thing for you. So if you have reason, right, you have to look back and say, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you. I cannot forget you, Lord. You have been good to me. You have cared for me. There are far more things. I am telling only simpler things. But the thing is, there are far more things that God has done in your life. I assure you, none of us will be able to stand up and say, hitherto, I have never seen anything good in my life. That is a lie. I can tell you, if you say that, I can boldly call you a liar. I can boldly do that because I know my heart. I know the way I think. It is very easily possible that we will stand up and say, oh, no, man, idvare oru nanmai vandattilla. That's a lie. Because you have not sat to think. And God pities you like a father pities. He knows you are a dust. That is why you are saying, because of your frame, you are complaining against me. I have done so many things good. And then he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only you would see how much I wanted to gather you. God uses that. But beloved, at the end of it, children, let me ask you, at the end of all this, what does God want from you? Miraya, we worship God, we learn God's word, and we do that. What does God want from you? He wants something from you. Do you know what? What? God wants us to love Him. Absolutely. That is the theological, that is the commandment. I don't know how much he thought about it. That's exactly the answer. See, you have answered another question which God asks, right? Child, do you know what I want from you? He doesn't want anything else. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your ministry. He doesn't want your preaching. That all is God-enabled, God-given opportunities to do certain things according to His gifts. Adhan Manda. Will you love me? Will you love me? Will you love me? And love has a tangible expression. മനസ്സിലെ അവിടെ കളിപ്പിക്കാൻ ഒക്കത്തില്ല, ദൈവത്തെ കളിപ്പിക്കാൻ ഒക്കത്തില്ല. ഐ ലവ് യു ലോർഡ് മീൻസ് ദേർ ഇസ് ഗോഡ് ലെസ് ഹൗ മനെ യു സെഡ് യു ലവ് മീ ബട്ട് ഐ ഡോണ്ട് സീ എനി എവിഡൻസ് ഓഫ് ഇറ്റ്. യു ഡോണ്ട് ലൈക്ക് മൈ വേർഡ്, യു ഡോണ്ട് ലൈക്ക് മൈ പീപ്പിൾ, യു ഡോണ്ട് ലൈക്ക് മൈ ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻ, യു ഡോണ്ട് റിയലി ഈവൻ അക്നോളജ് മൈ ലവ്. യു ഹാവ് ബീൻ കംപ്ലൈനിങ് ആൻഡ് മർമറിങ് അഗേൻസ്റ്റ് മീ. യു ആർ നോട്ട് സാറ്റിസ്ഫൈഡ് വിത്ത് എവറിഥിങ് ദാറ്റ് ഐ ഹാവ് ഗിവൻ ടു യു, ഓൾവേസ് തിങ്കിങ് ഓൺലി അതർ തിങ്സ്. Can you please explain to me how you love me? And then we will be dumbstruck and say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I really did not mean what I said. I don't think I really love you. Please help me to love you. Because in case you still think it's a philosophical question, you know, and is it an Haggai or Malachi? You know, when God corners you, you will not have any argument. He says, you bring all your sacrifices to me with blemish. Whatever you want in your way, you bring here. Do one thing. Just present it to your governor. Pinarayi Vijayan office poyittunnu kodutha. The respect that you are giving your parent at home, no? Just go and give it to your principal and just tell me what happened. Did they make you stand in a corner or scolded you? Yes. Just go and test it. Sometimes God corners us by saying, see the very logic that you use. For example, why am I saying this? I just told you about loving God, right? Mariah said, God expects us to love God. And if you are confused how to love God, you just think yourself, how do you want to be loved? How do you know that your father loves you? ഒരിക്കലും കേൾക്കത്തില്ല അപ്പൻ, ഒരിക്കലും നിന്റെ സ്റ്റോറി കേൾക്കാൻ തയ്യാറല്ല. ഹി ഡസൻ വാണ്ട്, ഹി ഡസൻ ഹാവ് ടൈം ടു ലിസൺ ടു യു. യു തിങ്ക് ഹി ലവ്സ് യു? യു തിങ്ക് ഹി ലവ്സ് യു? നോ. റിമെമ്പർ ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ഡസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ഫ്രെയിം. റിമെമ്പർ വി ആർ നോട്ട് ജഡ്ജിംഗ് പീപ്പിൾ ഹിയർ, ബട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് റിയാലിറ്റി, റൈറ്റ്? ഹസ്ബൻഡ് ആൻഡ് വൈഫ്, ഹൗ ഡു യു നോ ദാറ്റ് യു ലവ് ഈച്ച് അദർ? ചിൽഡ്രൻ കൻ ടെൽ, റൈറ്റ്? ചിൽഡ്രൻ കൻ ടെൽ അബൌട്ട് ദെയർ പേരൻസ്. ഹൗ ഡു യു നോ ദാറ്റ് യുവർ ഫാദർ ആൻഡ് മദർ ലവ് ഈച്ച് അദർ? ഷുവർലി ദേ വിൽ ബി ഏബിൾ ടു ടെൽ. എത്രയും നോ. Because there will be reasons, right? Well, they don't spend time at all. They don't talk to each other. They don't have time. There is no love. There is no need for any PhD to understand that. If you love, you will sit to listen. If you love, you will want to spend time together. If you love, you will want to listen. Adariyavallo. Abam, can't you understand? When God says, I expect you to love me with all your heart, soul, strength, might. I want you to use your intelligence to love me back. I want to know you to use all the giftings that I have given. You're a guitarist, you're a drummer and all that. And your passion should be say, Lord Jesus, how I want to love you with this. And in that you rejoice. You jump around. Do all what you want to learn and everything. But Lord, I want to love you with my drum. I want to love you with my guitar. I want to love you with my singing. You understand? You understand? With everything that God has given to me, right, I want to love you with it. Lord, teach me how I can love you with these things. Then God says, well done my servant, my good, faithful servant. All that I wanted is for you to love me back. And then all what I am doing in your life, you will see and you will taste. Alright, so let's go to the little bit of unpleasant aspects. There is one favorite psalm of mine. Favorite in the Bible, it might sound like an oxymoron or whatever, because it's not that pleasant. But I tell you why it is one of my favorites. It's Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Okay, I'm taking that to also, and my desire is to just bring out the emotion of our God, loving God, Jesus Christ. How emotionally he wants to speak to us and convey his heart. So I'll pick and choose a few verses. I'll tell you the context, okay? So that, you know, you don't miss it. Psalm 50, right? We all know Psalm 51. 51 is to do with when David repented. But Psalm 50, is overall to his people. Okay. Someone can read from I'm going to ask some people in the back, so get ready. Alright, Psalm 50 verse 1 and 2. Anybody can read at the back. Just, if you don't have a mic, just shout it out. I'll read it anyway, so for the audience on the Zoom. Psalm 50 verse 1 and 2.
Mighty one,
yes.
God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Yeah.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Okay, verse 3 also.
Our God comes, he does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest.
And verse 4.
He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people.
Verse 5.
Gather to me faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Verse 6.
The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Okay, let me read this. Okay, listen carefully. Okay, children also listen, understand. Jewel, everybody listen. Okay. God is saying, the mighty one, God the Lord, Almighty One, speaks and summons the earth. You know the meaning of a summons? I don't know whether some legal people can say. What is a summons, Angela? Yeah. Forcing you to come. Yeah, but how is the difference? I called, I don't say I summoned Angela to come forward. Right? I mean, of course, it's right. But there's something else. There's a legality to it. What happens if you do not come? Something will happen. I can ask Angela to come forward and she may refuse to come. No, nothing will happen to her. But if a summons is there from the court and you don't come, it will be contempt of the court or whatever it is, right? God is using that. Listen, children. God is here using like a judge. And he is saying, the mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth. Come, everybody. Come here. You have to come because I am your God. I created you. And then remember, how do I know that? Because in verse 5 it says what? Who should come? Verse 5? Yeah, my faithful ones. Meaning those who claim to be his people, right? You and me. Okay? Think it that way. Those who take the name of Jesus and know him and claim to know him, come. My faithful ones gather. But it's a summons. Here it's not a loving father pitying. Is there? Yes, he's parked that character for a bit and says, come here. Now you have to answer me because I am, who am I? Verse 6. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. So right now, I pity you as a father, but right now I am a judge. Come. So summons. It's not very pleasant. It's not saying if you can, please come. You know, if you are free, please come. No. Come. Drop everything else and come. Because there is a reason why I'm calling you. I'm the judge right now. He calls his faithful ones, okay? He calls his faithful ones. And then he says here, now let us hear. Verse 7, 8, 9 and 10. Again, somebody can read verse 7 onwards.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. Okay. I am God, your God.
He begins with his relationship. Okay, who am I to you? I am a judge, correct, but I am your God. Meaning everything is intact. I am your father, I am your real father, I created you, I love you, and I care for you. Everything is involved. I am your God. I am not speaking like the judge of the High Court of Kerala, the Supreme Court. There is no relationship between the judge and the defendant or whoever it is, right? There is no relationship. Here, no. He said, no. This is a summons by your father, your heavenly father who created you, who loves you and cares for you and have done all these things. I am summoning you. Come here. There is a relationship, okay? Then he says, I do not. Verse 3, 8 onwards. Listen to this.
I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills.
11 also.
I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine.
Okay, one of the children to read, maybe Caleb, can you read? Verse 7 onwards.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak.
O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine.
Okay. Right. What is he saying here? He's saying, he's calling and he's saying, we expect him to say that, okay, this you did wrong, that you did. No, he's saying, no. I have no problem. You are coming to Shamma regularly. All the prayer meetings you are attending. You are doing all my ministry without fail. You are doing many things for me. I am not rebuking you here. And then he reminds them. Okay, remember here. Okay, this is the Old Testament. Here the context is he's saying, people of his people who are obeying his law, they come with sacrifices. They do whatever God has commanded there. He's saying, I'm not reproving you. And he reminds them in humility something. Remember, everything, this is not from your house. I only put that he got in your house. You are giving me your tithe. That's the job that you have. When you cried out, the time that I am asking you, I only give you free time. I gave you peace, right? I am only asking you, when you are peaceful, can you come? So remember, when we come to him, remember, we are not doing him any service. Children, remember, when we say and cry out for you, children, that you must love Jesus and you must be obedient to him, remember, we are only saying, if you want to be blessed, do you really want to have peace and joy really in your house, in your family, down the line, your generations to be blessed? If you want, you want, right? Only God gives everything. You know, in James chapter 1, it says that do not be deceived. For every good gift comes from the Father of lights in heaven above. Panjikyapadadu. Don't be deceived. Don't think that, let's say for example, we went for the ice cream yesterday. Don't think that, okay, Malavika bought it. That is correct. You had fun. That is correct. You had testimonies. That is correct. But don't forget, I am the one who did that. That includes even the ability to taste food. That ice cream tasted, passed through your taste buds, and it got digested. Don't forget that. If you want to know, just go to the hospital. Just go to the old age home. Even some youngsters who are struggling with inability to taste food, inability to digest good food, complications in their health, some don't have a tongue. I mentioned this example just to tell you, there was a person in Bombay that we came across, and not directly, through an auntie who did ministry in the, that time there was a lot of AIDS patients in the slums, and that auntie is a wonderful woman of God, and she will just break every barrier, AIDS patient's home. So she found in the slum a house in which was dark, a single room, not clean. He found a young man weeping and crying and no food. He has a family. Where is the family? They ran away because he has AIDS. And AIDS will pass on. They don't know that it's not through the air. But none of his family members in the slum staying with him, because they will not come to his house. They cannot give him food. So auntie met him when he was hungry without food. And what did auntie do? She walked in straight. Found out, she's a nurse, experienced nurse. She's retired now. She's, I don't know whether you will know, EMFI. She's once a president of, nurses, ENFI. Okay. Her name is Matthew, Mrs. Matthew. Sandhya, you remember her name? Chinnamanti, we call her Chinnamanti. She's written a book also. She walked in daringly. I have never done that. I don't remember even shaking hands with an AIDS patient. I don't remember, honestly. I've never taken the effort to do that, to find out. Auntie walks in and cares for him from then on till his death. He died. But she sent a video and shared with us. At some point, that boy came to know the Lord, because auntie would go every day, wash his wounds. Wash his wounds. Nobody will touch an AIDS patient, because wounds are the one that through which it transmits, because blood fluids. And he washed, and he came to know the Lord there only through auntie. And then she sent a video at one point of time of him praising the Lord while she and a few, I think her son and somebody else, were playing the guitar and worshipping God. And this was the most touching aspect. You know how he was praising? And then he was opened his mouth, and then I realized that he doesn't have a tongue, because the tongue had to be cut off because of his AIDS. He doesn't have a tongue when he came to know the Lord. But he is praising. He is praising the Lord. And he died soon after. Tongue is moving only because Jesus is there for you. Taste comes only because your taste buds are functioning correctly. I think your brother is in the hospital. He is not able to eat. Right? This is a short thing. We'll pray for him and then he will be well, and doctors are treating him. We'll be out probably in 2 days then. But last 2 days he was not able to eat anything. That's what I understand, right? Right? He's one who likes food. He can't eat anything, right? But in 2 days time, that happened. My point, come back, is here is not to talk about those stories. It's to say, oh Lord, everything is from you. Not only when you don't have a job and you're praying for a job and the job came, oh yes, that is from him. But everything is from him. The money you have, health you have, peace you have, job you have, family you have, everything. The fun you have is also he giving. Otherwise you will never have fun. You will have fun and you will have sorrow in the middle of it. He doesn't add a sorrow to fun. God says to his children, he doesn't add sorrow. Right? He doesn't add sorrow to fun. Right? He's not a sadistic God. He will make you have real fun. So children, if you really want fun in your life, it is to love Jesus. Yes. If you love Jesus with all your heart, decide today. If you love Jesus, you will have fun in your life. And it will be the best thing to happen. You will testify. And you will continue to say, and you will be praying for your children later on, saying that, you know children, you'll say the same thing. If you really want fun in your life, I mean it. Okay, this is not just, I don't mean fun in just, you know, in simple terms. I'm saying real fun which your friends who are secular will not have. Real joy that your secular friends will not have, you will have. Because Jesus is the one who gives. He is the author of it. Let me continue. So he says, I do not reprove you for your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. You worship in Vernand, Elound. Everything is there. Yeah, but, and then he says, for every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the air. All that moves in the field is mine. So don't bring it to me as though it's new to me. Or you are bringing something from your things. Listen, children, listen to this. How humorously God expresses in verse 12. Somebody else can read. Can you read verse 12?
If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and its fullness thereof.
Okay, go on, read 13.
Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Okay, so he is saying, do you really think that I am hungry? Do you really think that I lack worship? Do you really think that, you know, I need you for my ministry? Do you really think that I need you to touch my people and change people's lives? Do you really need for you? No, I don't need you. Everything is mine. I really don't need anything from you. If I were hungry, I will not tell you. You know, God is so, he's saying, if I were hungry, I'm not going to come and ask you, I'm hungry, pastor, please. Does Shamma have some fund remaining? Can you buy me some food? I will be careful next time. No? If I were hungry, I will not tell you. The point is, we know, can God be ever hungry? Joa?
No.
See, he knows. God can never be hungry. But God is writing it here so that children will understand. And may I add, hopefully, us adults will receive. Understand, receive. Grahikyanam Deva Vajanam. Because God's word is to be eaten. That is why it says, eat the word of God. The prophet says, eat the scroll. God doesn't do anything just for fun. Because you eat to digest. And when you digest, it will be nourishment which cannot be removed. It will be nourishment for your muscles and your body and your bones. Eat the word of God. Obey my word and you will find nourishment and blessing. Don't run away from it. Make choices and decisions right now. Do you know Jesus warns again and said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Why today? Tomorrow also is the day of salvation. Yesterday also was the day of salvation. Why do you need to tell me today is the day of salvation? You know what he is saying? You think you are wise. You think, let me think about it and get back to you. And the Lord laughs and pities because he just knows this dust spoke back to him. He knows, saying that, no, if you really understood, you will bend your knees right now and say, tomorrow is not mine, next moment is not mine. Lord, before, I don't want to postpone my commitment to you. I don't want to postpone to say that I love you from now onwards. I don't want to postpone my decision for you. Because I know the gravity of what it is, what it means. I know the futility of wasting one more moment without you, without making that decision. Because I am a fool. I am using my wisdom. You are wise. And your wisdom is the cross of Christ to be received by faith and faith alone. That is foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews. But to those who believe and receive the power of God, the transformation of God, the blessing of God. But it sounds foolish because God chose, it says God chose to make foolish the wisdom of the world. By what apparently seems foolish. He's not foolish. Cross of Christ. Yes. Blood of the Lamb. What? If you eat of me and drink of me, can't you have a better example? No, this is the best example. This is the easiest example. And this is the example that God has chosen. Even if you argue, I'm not changing it. You want to believe? You want to be smarter than me? You will miss it. Alright? And then it says he was hungry. And then listen to it. Okay, what does God say? Verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And so on. Now he begins to address them. He says, no, I want your gratitude. We began by that also, right? God needs our gratitude, our response to him. And our response can only be this. Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending people to share the gospel to me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to believe your truth when you said. Thank you for giving me an appropriate environment to do so. Thank you for giving me a church to be part of. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that everything belongs to you. Thank you that you have given whatever I have belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will well up in your heart only when you recognize this. Otherwise, it will be lip service. There's no point. From your heart, it should flow and say, thank you. Nanni Yeshua. Nanni Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then look at verse 16. Now is the little hard part, and then we will stop. Okay? We will sing a good song after that and then stop, so that you know it is little bit palatable. Verse 16. Let me read this, okay? This version. God is asking you, what right have you to recite my statutes? Ni vajanam aikunnille. Ni parayunnille. What right do you have? Who do you think you are? What right do you have to recite reciting statutes is wonderful, no? Reciting God's word or telling it is wonderful, no? You say, what right do you have? Remember the context. Hypocrisy. The context is where we think that we are doing something for God and coming to Him. He says, what right do you have? Do you know? George, what right do you have to preach here? Or take my covenant on your lips? What language? He's saying, do you know, don't even end up. What right do you have to take my covenant on your lips? Look at how God is now addressing. And then he's saying, look at verse 17. Why? Why is God so passionately addressing? Haya, can you read it for me, Haya? Verse 17.
You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you.
ഞാൻ പറയുന്നത് ഒന്നും കേൾക്കാൻ തയ്യാറല്ല. നോട്ട് ഓൺലി ദാറ്റ്, വട്ട് എവർ ഐ എം ടെല്ലിങ് യു, യു കാസ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ബിഹൈൻഡ് യു. മീനിങ് വാട്ട്? കെയർലെസ്. I heard this, but let it be there. We'll see later. That is why God is speaking harshly now. For you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. You did not give value to my word. You know, to the Thessalonians, we won't go there because we don't have time. I have to stop. He says something very noble in chapter 1 or 2 of Thessalonians. He says, he appreciates, and Paul says, let me paraphrase it. He is so happy and praises God, saying that because you received the word for what it is, the word of God. Manasalai, you need to understand that. When we read this word, or when pastor preaches, or when I am saying it is the word of God, that is what you receive. And that is the word of God. Devan samsarichal, what fresh is so precious, right? It is instruction for you. You ought to act on it, and you need to change some things, and you need to be encouraged and strengthened. God's word. The Thessalonian church always listened to it, not like a good speaker came, Paul came and spoke. No, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. We receive it that way. Okay, so we will never cast it away. We're saying, Devam, oh Lord, if you are the one who is instructing, I will listen to you. Right? So you hate discipline and you cast my words behind you. You understand? Not giving heed to God's word. Listen. Okay, listen, children also. Remember, all that I said before, Gabriel, the word of God is for you also. You have to listen, you have to obey God's word. Right? You have to listen. So you have to have an eager desire, oh, I want to know, I want to understand, so that you will obey God's word. Right? God loves that, and God seeks that. And then he says, what is the next verse, Mola? You can read. Oh, yeah, 18. Yeah. Okay, let me read this. If you see a thief, you are a friend of his, and you keep company with adulterers. The whole point is what? The whole point is you are one with those who don't love God or disobey Him. You are okay with it, and you are comfortable with it. It's okay for you to have bad friends. It's okay for you to hang around. You're not thinking it differently. If you see a thief, you are a friend of his, and you keep company with adulterers. Verse 19, let me read this for lack of time. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongues frame deceit. You sit and speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's son. We might think that this is the wicked people of Israel. No, brothers and sisters, this is the wicked heart, which is desperately corrupt, which is set in Jeremiah, which is there in your heart and my heart. This is not for us to feel guilty, but this is for us to recognize that this is the same heart that we have. There is a possibility that you and I will hate discipline that God gives, instruction that God gives. There is a possibility that we will keep behind the words which He is speaking to us. There is a possibility that we compromise our values for many reasons and behave like them and approve those things. There is a possibility that my tongue has free rein, maybe not of evil, slander, things like that. Our tongue is not guarded. We have a whole book or chapters in James that talk about it. Maybe you sit and speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's tongue. And then verse 21. Listen to this carefully. 21. Can somebody read verse 21? See what God says here.
When you did these things and I kept silent,
yeah.
You thought I was...
No, read it again.
When you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was exactly like...
Yes, I want to paraphrase this so you'll understand that. Look at again. These things you have done and I have been silent. Yani idvare I have been silent. I didn't discipline. I didn't scold you. I didn't do anything. I continue to bless you. I continue to give you everything that you want. I have been silent. But you know what you did? You thought that I am like you. Look at the passion of God's word. He's saying, because of my silence, that means not me not jumping at you or calling a summons, I was silent. I was continued to be there with you and encourage and bless you. But you know what you did? You continued to think that I am like you. like, you know, I'm kind of, it's okay for me to compromise, it's okay for me to do. You thought I'm like you. I'm not like you. I am the Holy One of Israel, set apart. And you are my Holy One because you are washed by the blood of Jesus. Don't think that you are like him. Let's not think that we are like him. We want to be like him. But the point is, let us remember that God has called us into that holiness. These things you have done, I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself. But now, I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. I did not send the summons till now. I waited. But now, summons has come. You come, I lay the charge against you. Mark this, verse 22. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I rend and there will be none to deliver. God is closing with one just last statement. He's saying, remember, mark this then. You know the meaning of rend? Jan kiriyal. That is something. You will not be able to patch it back. Mark this then. Look at the words that God uses. Mark this then. You who forget God. Lest I rend and there will be none to deliver. And then he ends with a hopeful verse, verse 23. He who brings thanksgiving as a sacrifice honors me. Come back, my child. In thanksgiving, repent and turn to me. I called a summons. I have laid the charge. You have nothing to tell me back. But he who brings thanksgiving as a sacrifice honors me. To him who orders his way right, I will show the salvation of God. God still extends his gracious hand and says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Alright, so we spoke about God pities us like a father pities his children. He knows that we are dust and frame. So the context we remember, he knows that. He is gracious. He gives a long rope. Even the mother may forget to feed, but I will not forget. We read, he doesn't even slumber, not even dozing off, he cares. But don't think that I am like you. Don't take me for granted. Do you know that you don't really have a right to use his word even on your lips? Just imagine, his holy word is coming out of this lips, which is also slanderous, also a possibility of getting angry at my wife, maybe talking behind the back about somebody. That possibility is there. Remember, the holy words, you really don't have a right. So will you fear me for that? Will you come back to me with thanksgiving as your sacrifice? Honor me. So may God help you in that. I want to sing one stanza of a song which has stayed with me from my childhood, because my grandmother, I've heard her sing this. And you all know this song. So I will just sing. It's a Malayalam song. I'll translate it for Sean. It's very simple. And then we'll just close. Devatinu stotram, devatinu stotram, devatinu stotram innum ennekum. Ende devatinu stotram innum ennekum. Praise to God always. I am praising my God now and forever. Pava pariha. Sorry, Pava. Pava Bharatil ninne rikshichoru. Pava Bharatil ninne rikshichoru. Devatinu stotram innum ennekum. Ende devatinu stotram innum ennekum. Pava Bharam means the weight of sin. God, you save me from that. Right, God, you saved me from the weight of sin. To you, I will praise you. Now I'm just going through to the last stanza, which is what I want you to look at. Kannu neer thugumbol manasaliyunna. Kannu neer thugumbol manasaliyunna. Devatinu stotram innum ennekum. Ende devatinu stotram innum ennekum. പെറ്റതല്ലേ ഉറ്റു സ്നേഹിക്കുന്ന പെറ്റതല്ലേക്കാൾ ഉറ്റു സ്നേഹിക്കുന്ന ദൈവത്തിന് സ്തോത്രം നിന്നുമെന്നേക്കും എന്റെ ദൈവത്തിന് സ്തോത്രം നിന്നുമെന്നേക്കും പെറ്റതല്ലേക്കാൾ the one who gave me birth, my mother, the one who loves me more than my mother who gave birth to me. That is the last stanza. That's the same verse that I read earlier. So I just want to close with that. Shall we all stand up as we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, and praise you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you that Lord Jesus, oh Lord, thank you that you have given us freedom to use your words on our lips. You have even decided to write your words on our heart, unlike in the Old Testament. And we want to thank you. But we pray, we do not want to take for granted what you have given to us, and for us to turn to you and our children to turn to you and look up to you and never forget that you are a God who pities us like our Father pities us, because you know our frame, you know our weaknesses, and that you will take care of us more than our mother can care for us. But Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, above all the cross of Christ, the salvation that you have given to us, and we will give praise to you every day and always, Lord Master, and remember that you are the one who loves us more than our own mother who gave us birth loves us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Bless this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Before we take part of the Lord's table, a reminder of all those who have the witness of the Spirit and